call the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors meeting. The Fairfax please rise to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we have several presentations this morning. We'll start one for Community Service Agency Director Ken Patterson.
I want to, as Ken makes his way back here, express the county's appreciation for Ken's leadership over the last 5 years. His calm demeanor and expertise in community services agency programs has brought tremendous new vitality to our human services programs. And Ken, for all of those of us who have had an opportunity to work with you, I want you to know that it has been a pleasure and a privilege working with you.
Well, good morning, Ken. I have a resolution from the Board of Supervisors that I'm going to read because it's got a lot of great information on you. Ken Patterson, Director of San Francisco County Community Services Agency, is retiring on November 16, 2007, after 5 years of dedicated public service to the residents of Stanislaus County and the state of California. Mr. Patterson is a native of Idaho and moved to Modesto in November 2002. He received his Bachelor's of Social Work from Boise State University in 1974 and a Master's of Social Work from Eastern Washington University in 1989. Mr. Patterson spent his social work career in child welfare, family and youth services around the West. He served as director of Idaho Division Family and Community Services from 1989 to 1995, director of Nevada Division of Child and Family Services in 1996 to 1997, director of the Utah Division of Child and Family Services from 1997 to 2001, and was Western Division Director for Child Welfare League of America's National Center for Field Consultation from 2001 to 2002. Mr. Patterson was awarded an Annie E. Casey Foundation Child and Family Fellowship in 1995, and since 2005, Mr. Patterson has served on the California Administrative Office of the Court's Blue Ribbon Commission on Children and Foster Care. Mr. Patterson has served on numerous councils and panels, including the Executive Board of the National Association of Public Child Welfare Administrators. Mr. Patterson was a member of the California Social Work Education Center Board of Directors and served as co-chair for California County Welfare Directors Association and Children's Services Committee. Mr. Patterson has served on numerous local councils and panels, including chair of the Children's and Families Commission, chair of the San Jose Children's Council, and board member of the San Jose County Community Health Center Board. Mr. Patterson has provided exceptional leadership in San Jose County by establishing the IHSS Public Authority, initiating a pilot county of child welfare systems improvement, establishing many new partners, implementing the C4 statewide automated welfare system, expanding outstation services in various communities in the county, including Riverbank, winning 5 California State Association of County Challenge Awards, and implementing differential response of family resource centers. Mr. Patterson has served the County of San Jose and its citizens with dedication, humanity, efficiency, fiscal integrity, and diligence. The San Jose County Board of Supervisors does hereby commend and congratulate Ken Patterson, Director, upon his retirement for his exceptional services and commitment to San Jose County and its residents. Congratulations. As with every retirement in San Jose County, we issue a clock. And we took the batteries out. It's 9 o'clock, and it will always be 9 o'clock, so you remember our board meetings. Ken Patterson, Director of Community Services Agency, 2002-2007. Thank you very much for all you've done for San Jose County.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Boy, that made me tired just listening to it. I just want to thank you as Board of Supervisors and Rick, you as the CEO, and all of the staff at the CEO's office for an opportunity to serve in a job that, without question, is the best gig I've had in my entire career. I was talking to Supervisor Mayfield just a few minutes ago. I prided myself on trying to scout job opportunities, and when I was invited to interview in Stanislaus County, I thought it looked like a really good job. But I didn't realize how good of a job it was till I'd really arrived here and was able to work in the community and in the county system, and particularly with the CSA staff. One of the things that has really occurred in the past 5 years is the ability for Community Service Agency to measure its outcomes in all of its programs. And so while I thought I was getting into a good job, now, 5 years later, I see that in a measurable way, Stanislaus County really is a leader in all of the social service programs. And the core of it is the customer service orientation of the Community Service Agency staff and just their dedication to always trying to find an improved and better way to do the job. I will sincerely miss them, and I give them a lot of credit and thanks for all of the success and pleasure that I've had in doing this job as the CSA director. Thank you again.
Next, we have a presentation, Adoption of Permanency Awareness Month in Stanislaus County.
My name is Jan Viss. I'm an assistant director with the Community Services Agency and oversee the Child and Family Services Division. Today, we are here to celebrate November as Adoption and Permanency Awareness Month in Stanislaus County. Every child needs a place to call home. To belong to a secure, loving, and permanent family should be a basic right of every child. Adoption comes in a variety of ways. It could be through the voluntary relinquishment of an infant by birth parents who are not ready to take on the responsibilities of parenting. There are also international adoptions. Given the social and economic conditions of many international communities, children are often abandoned and left in orphanages, and American families take them into their homes. Then there are adoptions from the local child welfare system, where children have been removed from their parents by the court because of abuse or neglect. And as a result, they're not able to safely reunify with their families and find permanency in an adoptive home. Here in Stanislaus County, we have 7 licensed adoption agencies that provide a variety of adoption services. I would like the representatives of these agencies to stand as I call your name. Aspira Foster and Family Agency, Bethany Christian Services, Family Connections Christian Adoptions, Families First, Konania Family Services, Sierra Vista Child and Family Services, and the Stanislaus County Community Services Agency. Each of these agencies, along with the Stanislaus County Foster Parent Association, is dedicated to providing support to families and to the adopted children in their homes. I'd also like any adoptive parents in the audience to stand. And we would like to thank you who have opened up your hearts and homes to provide love, support, and security to the children in our community. So often when we think of permanency, we think of adoptions. Permanency in the child welfare system also means that a child has been successfully reunified with their parents after being removed for abuse or neglect. The parents have successfully completed a court-ordered case plan and made the proper changes in their lives to be able to once again parent their child. The Community Services Agency is the agency responsible for providing reunification services to children and families. If the family is unable to reunify within a 6 to 18 month time frame, an alternative plan is made, adoption being the most permanent plan. Recently, the Community Services Agency staff created a quilt, and it will go on display in the Stanislaus County Juvenile Court. The quilt is hanging on the wall here. The house represents children who have been successfully reunified with their parents. The tiles hold the name of every child that was reunified with their parent in fiscal year 06-07. During this time frame, 68 children were reunified with their parents. The tree represents adoption. The flowers on the ground represent every child who was adopted in 06-07. During this time frame, 78 children who could not successfully reunify with their biological parents were placed in adoptive homes. Names of the children will continue to be added. This fiscal year, the BRICS are children who have been reunified, and the LEAVES are children who have currently been placed for adoption. At this time, I'd also like to note that the Community Services Agency tracks a variety of outcomes, like Ken had mentioned. One of the outcomes has to do with timeliness to adoption, i.e., the percentage of children exiting to adoption within 24 months from the time they first entered foster care. The national standard in this outcome, is 36.6% of children are adopted within 24 months of entering foster care. In Stanislaus County, 76.8% of children who are formally placed in adoption within that 24-month period. That's an outstanding result. So this quilt will actually be folded to simply display the house in juvenile court when families who are in the reunification process appear before the court. We hope that it will serve as an inspiration that they too can reunify with their children. Adoptions are also finalized within the juvenile court. During these proceedings, the entire quilt will be revealed and the child will place his or her name on or around the tree. The quilt was created by quilters within CSA, including, if they could stand, Helen DeVitos, who coordinated the project, Susan List, Christy Taylor, and Dolores Cordova. We want to thank them for volunteering their time to make this quilt. Sharon Schuchert, Social Work Supervisor from the Community Services Agency, will now accept the resolution proclaiming November 2007 as Adoption and Permanency Awareness Month on behalf of all the agencies represented today. Thank you.
We have a resolution this morning. Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors recognizes the essential value of belonging to a secure, loving, permanent family as every child's basic right. The Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors recognizes the outstanding work of Stanislaus County Community Services Agency social service staff who placed 78 children in adoptive homes during the last year and exceeded the state target of 66 adoptive placements for the 8th consecutive year. Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors wishes to honor all private adoption agencies within Stanislaus County committed to finding permanent homes for children in need of safe, loving homes. The Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors wishes to honor the dedicated families who have opened their hearts and their homes to provide love and support for many of our community's children. The Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors wishes to commend the network of committed social workers, community service providers, and the county agencies for their dedication and support of families and the adopted children in their homes. Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby unanimously proclaim November 2007 as Adoption and Permanency Awareness Month in Stanislaus County. And we have a resolution.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to thank our wonderful administration and management staff for their wonderful leadership. Without their leadership, this wouldn't be possible.
Next presentation is from Stanislaus Council of Governments 2008 Public Participation Plan Revision.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Stanislaus Board of Supervisors. Carlos Johansson with the Stanislaus Council of Governments. The public participation plan for the Stanislaus Council of Governments is currently being updated. The current plan was adopted in 2004 by the Policy Board. This current update is a requirement of the latest federal reauthorization bill. Safety LOU, which stands for Safety, Accountable, Flexible, Efficient Transportation Equity Act, a legacy for users. A key change in this public participation plan is the extended outreach to the community and affected stakeholders of anything that is being done related to transportation planning or the project development process. The public participation plan is the platform for this proactive outreach to the community. Well, Council of Governments is committed to this outreach and the transparency in our transportation planning process. The public participation goals and objectives are to strive for a balanced representation of all stakeholders in the planning process, to educate public officials and the community at large, and to be proactive with early and continuous public involvement, and to be responsive to the needs of the community. We're accomplishing this by making the rounds of the respective city councils as well as this presentation at the at your board, and in light of the pre-read that has been made available to you, my attendance here is really to avail myself to the board to answer any questions or address any comments you may have with that document. I can also say that we've extended this outreach by participation in last Saturday's county community retreat, which was we got an excellent response in terms of letting folks know about our agency and what we do. And at that point, I can address any comments or questions you have regarding the update of the public participation plan.
Any questions or comments?
All right. Okay. Along the lines of the continued transparency in our transportation planning process, we have a back-to-back presentation. And the next presentation, which I will introduce, is the San Joaquin Regional Ramp Metering and HOV Lane Master Plan. Very briefly, this is a planning study that is funded by Caltrans, who has contracted with the San Joaquin Council of Governments to develop a ramp metering and HOV master plan for Stanislaus and Merced County. With that, I would like to introduce their consultant for the study, Mr. Bill Loudon of DTS and Associates, who will be giving a brief presentation.
Wait a minute, before you leave.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me what major accomplishments has happened in STANCOG in the county? Like major transportation projects?
In terms of?
Just tell me what you've done.
I think the fact that we are keeping projects moving and that we were successful in acquiring some of the bond money for the 219 project, it was a major milestone in the agency and for the region. We were able to make that project basically whole in terms of total funding for the project. We have two major feasibility studies, one for the North County Corridor, which is looking at alternatives that extend from the 99 Corridor to points east of the city of Oakdale. We have a State Route 132 connectivity study, which looks at bridging the gap between 132 West through 99 and 132 East. We have the 132 East infill project, which is scheduled moving into the construction phase of the project. We're involved in various levels of the project development for interchange projects, such as the Whitmore project, which is also fully funded. We're involved in studies for the Mitchell Road interchange in series. We participate in project development teams with the Department of Transportation for interchanges along 99. We review and actively participate in environmental reviews of all local development that affect transportation.
Let me ask this. On my desk this morning, there was a certain amount of interest paid on something on 132. What have we done on 132 that we would be paying interest? It's something like $400,000, $500,000. What was that? What have we done on 132 that would require STANCOG to be paying this to who?
I don't have the specific of that, Supervisor, but that the complex nature of that funding has to do with the color of money being both federal and state and dealing with the Department of Transportation and the loan arrangements with the
Department. No, I'm not really trying to debate this. I'm just trying to find, events are going to go up in a minute. Okay. What I'm just trying to find out is who we paid what for what was done. And you also mentioned, I know, don't get roused about this.
No.
Okay. But we also talked about the The one now, the new alignment for the to bypass, go from Salida to Modesto to Riverbank to Oakdale, and then you're asking today the $30,000 for the study. I understand all that. Okay, but then when you do that, then at some point, there was mentioned the county that we were, you're going to ask today for $30,000. When you do that, is that at what point do we find that the county is going to participate in this too? Right now, in the last few years, the county is right now in the rears of their transportation project in this county, just in this county, $980 million or more, $1 billion. So what will we find out for sure how much money the county is going to be involved with after we do this study? You're asking $30,000 for each entity, which would be the ones I just said. Okay. When will we find out what part of this would be the counties when we're already that much in behind?
I think you know that my executive director, which I will defer to, if you...
Who wants to talk about it? Come on, Vince.
We'll talk about the $30,000 a little later on, but I know I got a question on the 132 interest.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, good morning. Vince Harris, executive director for the Stanislaus Council of Government. Supervisor, you mentioned something on your desk regarding 132 as it relates to 400,000. That funding was prior to the start of construction 3 or 4 years ago. Stancog, in cooperation with both the County of Stanislaus, the Alliance, and the City of Modesto, entered into an agreement to allow that project to go forward as it relates to environmental documentation, preliminary engineering, and right-of-way acquisition. So that was just one loan that was used to start the project, and the loan was basically backed by receipt of funds from the State Transportation Improvement Program under what we call an AB 3090 arrangement. So that on your desk this morning has to do with that particular loan.
Okay. Can you tell me where that project...
Sure.
Is at this point?
Yes. That project was the State Route 132 East Infill Project, which is the widening of about 2.5 miles on the east side of State Route 99. The project is currently in construction. We are facing some delays on that project due to some right-of-way issues that we are, in fact, attempting to resolve. Once those right-of-way issues are resolved, we anticipate restarting construction.
Okay, now does this relate to that, the 132 between Empire and Modesto? I mean, is that what you're talking about?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, so you came, we gave you $400,000 to study it here a while back. I forget how many months ago, how many years ago.
It's been several years ago, about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
but it was really much more than a study. It really was the early work, environmental documentation, preliminary engineering, final design, and right-of-way acquisition to actually do all those elements of work before we could start construction. So that in conjunction with loans, as I said, to be repaid through the process with the State of California were dollars that were garnered so that we could start the work.
Okay. Well, I probably, you know, Vince, we had this meeting here a while back. I had a meeting with you, and we talked about it. There's probably a lot of projects I'd like to know about. I'm not going to ask them all today, but at some point with Stancog and with the county, we have to start showing something being moved and something being done. I mean, I know you're having problems with 132 between Empire and Modesto. I know that. Okay, but how long does it take for us to... that project started out at $9 million. Is it still $9 million?
It's still the construction cost is still at that point. We have a very good bid from a contractor that we're hopeful of being able to retain. We anticipate probably seeing the construction, now that we're almost in the winter, probably next spring before we actually see construction start once we get to the right-of-way issues. And, of course, that will be brought to the Stancog Policy Board, and we've been meeting with the board on a number of occasions for direction as we go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm here, and I won't take much more time with the board, but we do have several other projects, as Carlos mentioned, that, in fact, are coming to construction. The State Route 219 project we anticipate being in construction next spring, summer. The Whitmore Interchange and Ceres, working with Ceres and Caltrans. Also, we anticipate having that project in construction next year. And we're working collaboratively with Caltrans on a, a number of other projects that Carlos mentioned as we go through the developmental process.
So 219 is current.
The 219 project, which is the widening project,
which
is Karen and Clarabelle, yes. That project we anticipate being in construction by next year.
Okay. Would you say that would that project tie into the other one that goes through Riverbank, Estill?
Definitely there will be some coordination between the projects. The 219 corridor, so let's just call it the 219 corridor, basically will be a phased project over the years.
Mm-hmm.
The North County corridor that you'll be talking about a bit later clearly is another step in improving the overall 219 corridor.
Okay, Vince. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Tough questions, and that's what the agency is here for, and I'm hoping that the next study will give you an indication of what we are looking at in terms of the challenges we have along the State Route 99. A very congested corridor through Stanislaus County, especially Modesto, may not be able to be widened much more than 8 lanes, and so the department along with the regional agency is looking at other options in terms of operational improvements. With that, I'd like to introduce Mr. Bill Lauten with DKS & Associates.
Thank you, Carlos, Chairman O'Brien, and supervisors. It's a pleasure to be here to talk about this exciting project to explore ramp metering and high occupancy vehicle lanes in the San Joaquin Valley. And the first slide, Carlos. I'll talk briefly about what our project objectives are, give an overview of what ramp metering and HOV lanes are and how they can be used as freeway management tools. Just a little bit about our work plan and schedule. The objectives are first and foremost to educate stakeholders regarding ramp metering and HOV strategies. This is a new concept in the San Joaquin Valley. The first ramp meter was put in operation near the connection of Mountain House to 205 recently, and there are no HOV lanes yet, although I'm sure many of you have experienced them in other metropolitan areas. The second objective is to assess whether ramp metering or HOV lanes would be appropriate for San Joaquin, Stanislaus, and or Merced County in the next 20 years. And then if there is an appropriate application and it looks promising, to develop a phased plan for funding and implementing. Next, Carlos. Why is the study needed now? There, as you all know, there's very rapid Central Valley and San Joaquin Valley growth, and it's congesting the region's freeways. The growth is resulting in more long-distance commuting. Even though jobs are coming into the valley, there's still more of the growth is going out for jobs than staying within. New strategies are going to be necessary to manage congestion at different places at different times. And right now, there are some new funding opportunities for highway projects in the valley, particularly from Prop 1B, and the time to make decisions about ramp metering and HOV lanes is when new lanes are being added or when interchanges are being rebuilt. But what is ramp metering? It's a traffic operation strategy whereby the traffic entering a freeway from an on-ramp is controlled with a traffic signal. The ramp metering controls the volume entering the main line to prevent a breakdown in the flow on the main line of the freeways. This diagram shows a relationship between speed and throughput on a freeway lane and the volume of it. The speed is on the y-axis and the volume on the x-axis there. And you see that over a good bit of the flow, the speed stays pretty constant, but then when it begins to break down, the speed drops and also the throughput drops. And ramp metering has been shown to improve speeds as much as 50% or 60% on freeways where it's being implemented, and get a 5% to 10% increase in the throughput, number of vehicles that can get through. This diagram shows really the goal. The first bar chart is an existing situation where you have high amount of delay on the freeway, on the main line itself, the blue. And the maroon is the ramp delay. And what you're trying to do is by increasing the delay at the ramps but improving the flow on the freeway, reduce the overall delay experienced by a traveler. Next slide. So what are some of the potential negative impacts of metering? Can be queues backups at the ramps, and sometimes these can back up onto local streets if not handled properly and managed properly. There can be diversion of trips on local streets for people trying to find the best ramp to get on at. There can be inequitable changes in travel time if not done properly. The through trips may get an advantage over the people trying to get on in a particular community. There can also be some spot increases in emissions at the ramp. That's generally a carbon monoxide problem and not an ozone, which is the main concern here in the valley. So that can be done to mitigate or avoid some of these. You can install spillback detectors so the monitoring can go on all the time and know how many vehicles are stopped at a ramp and whether it is approaching spillback. You can set the metering rates to avoid that and let more people through. You can modify the ramp design, often widening ramps, creating more lanes for storage. And you can also implement local street improvements and signalization to capture some of the flow that may occur on local streets. Moving on to HOV lanes, what are they? They are lanes on the freeway dedicated for use by carpools, vanpools, buses, and California some hybrids. The occupancy can vary and can be set. It's normally two people or more in a vehicle. There are some in Northern California and Southern California that are three or more, but most are two or more. And the hours of operation can be 24 hours, or they can be limited, as they are in most Northern California applications, to just the peak period that it's restricted. For the goals, to increase the passenger carrying capacity of the highway system, moving more people, not just vehicles, more people on the system, to provide a travel time advantage to high occupancy vehicles, carpools, vanpools, and buses, to improve the reliability of the travel time for those people using those modes, and by having a travel time advantage and more reliability, getting more travelers to shift from a single occupant vehicle to carpooling or using a bus and using a high occupancy vehicle. This diagram shows the productivity gains that often come with HOV lanes. This is from the Bay Area. It shows the productivity of the lane by comparing the people moved per lane per hour in the peak in the HOV lane to the average people per lane per hour moved in the mixed flow lanes. And you can see almost all of the lanes in the Bay Area are moving at least twice as many people, in one case almost four times as many people as the mixed flow lane. But again, the goal is to get people to shift. So in some surveying in Northern California, we asked people using HOV lanes, did that HOV lane influence them to form a carpool? And roughly 70% said yes, it greatly influenced them. Another 11% said it was a factor in their decision to form a carpool. So what are some of the potential negative impacts of the HOV lanes? Well, if you're deciding between adding a new lane as mixed flow or adding it as HOV, the decision to go with HOV can result in an overall increase in travel time for those people that are single occupant or that aren't eligible for using the lane. It can increase it weaving across lanes. They're almost always left side lanes, so people entering have to go across congested lanes to get to it, both in and out, unless there's direct access ramps. And it requires enforcement. There's nothing worse politically than having HOV lanes that are not being enforced, and residents are seeing people whiz by and with one person in the car, and you get lots of phone calls about that. So what can be done? Limiting the hours of operation to only those hours when the HOV lane will be effective. To combine HOV lanes with other strategies that keep mixed flow lanes moving fairly well. Ramp metering is one of those kinds of strategies that keep it moving. Having mixed flows run at 30 miles an hour and the HOV lane at 55 or 60 is kind of the ideal situation. And to provide adequate enforcement, both in terms of staff and enforcement areas along the freeway where they can pull over violators. So our project is an analysis in San Joaquin, Stanislaus, and Merced counties. We're conducting separate analyses in each county, recognizing the different needs. We have a steering committee involving all the counties and Caltrans to coordinate. We're collecting new data to support the technical analysis, volumes, occupancy data to support this. We're doing detailed modeling of strategies to make sure we're getting a good assessment of what the benefits and the impacts might be. And we're doing stakeholder input before recommendations. Getting out the word now about what we're doing, but we'll come back again when we have preliminary recommendations. So the schedule is we have the technical analysis underway right now. We will have draft results available by early January, and then we will do a second round of presentations to you, to the city councils, to the COG boards, to get reaction on that and then develop final recommendations in June of 2008. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you for your
looking time. Forward to those results.
With that, that concludes the two presentations for STANCOG. Again, I'd like to offer my direct support, and if you have any questions regarding these two presentations or anything at all, I will leave my card so you can contact me directly. Again, our goal is to create transparency in the transportation planning process and make ourselves available to the board as well as the community at large.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next this morning is public comment period. I have no specific request to address the board, but this would be an opportunity to address the board on any issue that's not on today's agenda. Seeing no one, we'll move to consent calendar. Is there any item that anybody wishes to pull? I do want to make a quick comment on item A3B, and that is the appointment of members to the Valley Home MAC. And I have a couple members in the audience. I want to thank them for coming down today and for their offering of their time to serve on this board. I had 8 applicants for 5 positions, and it was a random drawing is how we selected the 5 that are getting appointed today. So that may have a motion to adopt the consent calendar.
So move. Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Moving on to item A6, approval of the 2008 Board of Supervisors meeting calendar.
We have presented to you for your consideration this morning the 2008 board calendar. As you look at the calendar, you will note that as we have done in the past, we have not scheduled meetings that fall adjacent to holidays or are in conflict with conferences. And in a couple of occasions or instances, we are proposing that we not schedule meetings that where we have 5 meetings in a particular month.
Any comment or is there a motion to approve?
Also move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Passes 4-1. Thank you. Moving on to item B16, authorization of $30,000 in funding for the preparation of a North County Corridor Project Study Report.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Krosnick. I'm Stan Risen from the Chief Executive Office, and I'm here before you this morning to request funding to participate in the development of a project study report for North County Transportation Corridor. The need for efficient east-west transportation corridors is rapidly becoming a transportation priority throughout the Central Valley. If you've traveled Kiernan Avenue, for example, recently, you've probably experienced increasing congestion on some of our east-west corridors, even here in our own county. Economic development relies heavily on the ability to move goods and services, and new industrial park developments, such as that in the South Oakdale Industrial Park, would benefit greatly from improved east-west circulation. Recognizing this need, last year STANCOG contracted with Nolte and Associates to prepare a feasibility study of an east-west transportation corridor in the northern part of our county. That draft study is nearing completion. The development of this corridor is recognized as a priority by the county and the cities of Oakdale, Riverbank, and Modesto. Consequently, we've been meeting and discussing with each other ways to go about making this vision a reality. Those discussions led us recently to visit the city of Brentwood, where a partnership between Santa Clara County and the cities of Antioch, Brentwood, and Oakley led to the development of a joint powers authority to pursue development of a state Route 4 bypass. The first two segments of that project are scheduled to be open by the end of this year. We think a similar joint powers authority may serve us well for this project. Recently, we were approached by Caltrans and Stancog about the potential of going after the redesignation of funding set aside for the Oakdale Bypass Project, which has languished for years. In 2006, the California Transportation Commission took some of the funding that had been set aside for that Oakdale Bypass and moved it to the Whitmore Interchange and to some projects in Southern California. As part of that move, they promised that as part of the 2008 State Transportation Improvement Program funding cycle, that they would return that funding to our region and task both Stancog and Caltrans to identify an appropriate scope, cost, and schedule for that project. We see this as an opportunity to propose a real project that would ensure that these funds stay in our region. To get there, though, we need to prepare a project study report. Stancog has been meeting with Caltrans, and together they've proposed a schedule that would allow this project study report to be completed in time for that 2008 State Transportation Improvement Program funding cycle. The estimated cost of the PSR is $150,000, and it's been requested that the county, Modesto, Oakdale, and Riverbank, as well as Stancog, share in the cost equally, making each of our contributions $30,000. We are proposing that Stanislaus County share be funded with Prop 1B funding. Supervisor Mayfield, earlier in the meeting, you asked about where the funding would come for this project, and the answer to that is not real clear yet. Part of the project study report will identify what the costs of this project would be for the various alternatives, but it is our hope that we can, as we explore funding opportunities, that we can perhaps use a redesignation of some of the Oakdale Bypass funding, and I imagine a great percentage of the cost of this project would be funded by fees on new development. In the audience today are Vince Harris, Executive Director of Stancog, as well as Matt Machado, our County Public Works Director, who can assist in answering any questions you might have about this project. With that, I'll wrap up my presentation and request that you authorize funding in the amount of $30,000 for the preparation of the North County Corridor Project Study Report, make the necessary budget adjustments, and authorize staff to work with the cities of Modesto, Riverbank, Oakdale, and Stancog to develop a joint powers authority agreement, which once developed, we would bring back to your board for consideration. With that, I'll close my presentation and answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions?
Well, Stan, after the $30,000, you will come back to the county, and each entity will know what this is going to cost them, right?
Well, I would anticipate the next step after the project study report, probably the next time we'll be back before you, is with a joint powers authority agreement to say let's form a partnership with the cities of Oakdale, Modesto, and Riverbank. And as that partnership comes together, we'll need to collectively determine how to fund this project. And once we have that down, we'll probably come back to you at various stages to approve the funding arrangements.
And you say some of that funding would come from that bond money that was set aside 40 years ago?
That's not guaranteed, sir, but it's our hope by preparing the project study report and getting into this 2008 STIP cycle that the California Transportation Commission may consider that.
Okay. And according to the diagram that I looked at, this is going to require a lot more money than even the what they call the north bypass. This is much longer. This whole project. So it's going to take all the cities. It's going to take the county and a lot of money. Okay, to complete this, and this will be done over a period of years.
Yes, sir.
I'm not against the $30,000, Vince. Okay, you can study it, but I'd like to know where this money is all going to come from when we're already, like I just mentioned, this county is already over $980 million in arrears of fixing roads that are right now that need to be fixed. So we're close to $1 billion right now. If we want to fix all roads in our county, it's $1 billion. And then you're going to add this on top of that. Okay. I'll vote for the 30. Okay. $30,000.
Anybody in the audience have any comments on this issue? Supervisor Grover.
I have several comments, and I'm encouraged that we are to the point that we have arrived at. I think it's showing a lot of forethought at the point in time when we can actually start something that could be completed at some point in the future. I don't think any of us would be supporting this idea of changing the Oakdale bypass if it wasn't for the city of Oakdale providing the leadership and being willing to explore that idea. And I think the next thing that we need to accomplish in this process is to form that JPA and establish a route that we all agree to. And that's the beauty of having all four of the entities working together. There was a point back when the PSRs were underway for Hammett and Kernan a few years back, when I had opportunity to review a preliminary traffic study that showed for, not related to Salida, but for the growth that's anticipated to take place in the east side of the county between Modesto, Oakdale, Riverbank, and Tuolumne County, we're going to need more than 30 lanes of east-west traffic. Currently, we have 10. So if we don't start laying the foundation, preserving the right to get to Hammer Road, getting that right-of-way out across the county, whatever traffic snarls we have now are minuscule compared to what the future is going to hold for us. The encouraging factor that relates to Supervisor Mayfield's questions is to start a project of this magnitude, we need to start assembling blocks of money. And I'm seeing two large blocks to start us that we wouldn't have had otherwise. The first being the requirements put on the Salida development of more than $100 million. I think it's about $130 at current count. Of those fees will be the responsibility of the developers to buy that right away and get this road to Dale Road. If we look at somewhere around $100 million in the east side of the county in the Oakdale area, we're already to $250 million at the beginning of the financing. If we establish a route as it goes through the spheres of influences and the cities of the city limits of those three cities, they can make those requirements of any development that comes in the future to be paid for as those developments go in. And it's not possible at this point to allocate a set amount of money that would bring to it. But I guess in my mind, it doesn't matter if I know the total dollars if they're going to provide a new road from this point to this point as they go along. So it's just the beginning of a framework, but I think it's the required foundation that we need to start through it.
I said I'd vote for 30,000 starts.
But now we're getting into the
billions of the
game. Well, and I think you're accurate that it is billions, but I think it's a doable thing. And this hasn't even came into the discussion of that at some point in time if we continue to look at transportation sales tax and we look at what's a project that would be useful for the folks in the south part of our county and maybe one in the midpoint and maybe one in the north, that everyone benefits from a transportation tax, then there certainly would be some component of that that could apply to this North County corridor.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm legal right now when I say when you talk about the sales tax, the half cent. That's what you're talking about, the half cent sales tax.
I'm talking about the possibility of that.
Okay, the possibility of that. Okay. Well, then what we should be doing, if we're going to look at, is this legal, counsel?
Well, you can always, if it's appropriate and legal, to talk about potential funding sources in the future.
Okay, all right. So when we're talking about the half cent sales tax, I think the last time this came up, it was defeated, okay? But what it was defeated by was the fact that a lot of this money was going to be spent on state highways, okay? Only $100 million. It was $100 million over 30 years for roads in the county. I'll tell you right now, that's not enough. If you're going to start that same thing again, that you're going to spend $100 million, which is a little over $3 million a year, that's not even going to meet what you're talking about by far. Okay. But I think it was $600 million or more for state highways. We got to start thinking about what's good for this county as opposed to what's good for state highways. The state should be coming in and spending the money on the state highways, but we need to spend the money on what's good for us in this county. There's a certain amount of money that can go to state highways, but not by far as much it was proposed the first time, because I don't think that will ever pass. You've got to take care of yourself, and when you take care of yourself with that half a cent money you're talking about, it should be related to roads that move you around this county, okay? And this one you're talking about moves you around this county at some point, as opposed to state highways. That's my spiel, okay? This can go on and on and on, but unless you start talking about what's really important to this county, it's how you're going to get from Modesto to Turlock. How are you going to get from Oakdale to Modesto? How are you going to move around this county? Some of these roads in this county right now are from the center line to the edge of road 7 feet. Now, it may not be a major road, but you still have to drive them. And what happens to people is they start taking these roads to get off of these major roads because they're blocked up most of the time. Hey, I'm telling you the way it is. If you haven't got out there, go out and look at some of these roads. The roads are terrible. And I'm not blaming Matt. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying you have to start thinking about what you can do for yourself before you start thinking about how you're going to save the state. We're not going to save the state.
Supervisor DeMartini.
Stan Cog has been working on this North Corridor project for as long as I've been here. And, you know, I'm overall in support of the project. The concept of using the joint powers agreement between the cities and the county and STANCOG, I think, is probably a pretty good model. Using the money to go to a southern bypass around Oakdale makes more sense than going to the north, so I think that is a good idea. The only thing I'm concerned about, you know, down the road is the funding for this project, because it's a massive cost. And I don't want to see all the STIP money taken away from other projects that are farther along than this one, in particular the service road overpass in Ceres is one of the concerns that I have, that the money from that project could get put into this one, even though that one is farther along. But for today, I'm going to go ahead and vote for this, but the funding in the future for this type of project has got to come from a lot of sources. Different blocks of money, as Supervisor Grover said, but it can't take all the money from the other projects in the future.
Supervisor Monteith?
Well, I think one of the best factors of this issue is you've got the cities and the counties working together in the northern portion. Until we can get everyone to agree upon where they want it and how it's going to be handled, it doesn't make any difference where the money is. We're not going to get it accomplished, and I think we, sad to say, that Stanislaus County has a history of doing that. And I believe this is the first step by which we can get some results and address the east-west transportation problem that we have in Stanislaus County. So the money is always going to be a problem, and we have to be good managers and stewards of the money, but I definitely do feel that this is the first necessary step to address that issue. This is not the only issue we have, but I do believe that this is going in the right direction, and I definitely would be supportive of this.
I appreciate all the comments this morning from the supervisors, and everybody absolutely is correct. I may be young, but I remember when Bridgemore was going to be the North County Expressway in this county. And then it was going to be Pellendale. And then Kernan. And now this is our last opportunity for a North County Expressway. All those previous roads I mentioned, there's no way it could be a true expressway in this county. We have been working on this since we've been here, Mr. DeMartini. Absolutely. I've been working very hard on this issue. The Oakdale bypass has been around longer than I've been alive, and it's completely stalled. In fact, this year, the CPC took some of the money away from the project, I think for around $20 million, and said the only way you're going to get that money back is if you do this project, the study report that we're talking about today, and that'll get us our money back. It's going to take a lot of money for this to occur, but we have two pieces of the puzzle figured out. The first piece along 99 and the last piece through Oakdale. I'm not real concerned at this point that it will take money away from other projects, because a big factor of this is going to be future growth. We look at the numbers and we see what City of Oakdale, City of Riverbank, City of Modesto are looking for on the east, northeast side of this county. True, the housing market isn't there right now, but it will be back in the future, and we've got to be ready for it with a plan of how to handle traffic. Traffic in the northeast part of this county is horrendous. And here's a true opportunity to make a difference and get a road in place that can handle the traffic needs, not just for today, but for 50 years down the road. And that is why I've been pushing so hard. Supervisor Grover has helped tremendously. We found a great model over in Contra Costa County with the State Route 4 bypass, where it's developer funded, and with all the cities involved in the county getting along. And that's what I've enjoyed so much in this process, is that Modesto, Riverbank, Oakdale, and the county are getting along on this route, and it's a true sense of cooperation between these jurisdictions. So with that, I will make the motion to approve all the staff recommendations.
Second.
And I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you. Next is item B17, consideration approval of first quarter financial report for fiscal year 2007-2008.
Yeah, CEO staff, moves to the front here, I do want to take a moment to express my appreciation for the outstanding work that that our budget team has done in compiling first quarter results. What you will see is a positive report overall. But the leadership of the CEO staff and the work of the budget managers and staff persons in the departments has been outstanding.
Thank you, Rick. Good morning, members of the board, Patty Hill-Tillman. We are here to present our first quarter financial report for the current fiscal year. We're on budget. We have a strong fiscal position, but we're sounding the caution warning today. As we approach the budget, you'll see that we're not making significant change beyond that what we planned, because we're quite concerned about the discretionary revenues called property taxes, sales taxes, and we feel as though we are entering a very tight time for public budgeting and county budgets. We see pressure on our social service programs. We've all already seen a tremendous amount of pressure on our mental health funding and our health services agency. We see shrinking dollars from the state and the federal government as we as a nation deal with a number of economic trends and issues. So we are proceeding with caution, and you'll see that in the context of our report this morning. Just echoing Rick's comments, we are very happy that we have an outstanding budget team and set of department heads, budget managers, and their leadership team that stay focused on excellent fiscal accountability. The picture behind you shows your final budget adopted by your board by each of your priority areas, the largest, of course, being the healthy community, primarily funded by state and federal revenues at nearly half of the county budget. We are making some planned changes, primarily in the health services agency budget at the first quarter report, and some very small unplanned changes. And the level of change, particularly beyond those recommended for healthy community, shows the level of caution both our department heads and our executive office staff in proceeding with not wanting to grow our county's base budget at this time. The largest changes are in the healthy community priority area of your board, and for the most part, nearly 10 of the $12 million or $13 million are changes that you are anticipating us to come to you with relative to receiving the federally qualified health care status for the health services agency and also additional general fund money to fund the gap we expect for this current year. The other major change is an increase in CalWORKs programs. With that, Eileen's going to talk about revenue and Monica's going to talk about changes.
Good morning. Eileen Melson, Deputy Executive Officer, the Chief Executive Office. Patty already talked a little bit about discretionary revenue. At this point in the fiscal year, we are not going to recommend any change to our $180 million final budget discretionary revenue projection. There's just a lot that we don't know yet at this point of the year. When you compare September of 07 to September of 06, we do have about $1.8 million more in discretionary revenue than we did a year ago. But some of that is due to the way discretionary revenue was posted last year. And almost $1 million of it is our tobacco endowment funds that for the 2006 refinancing that we didn't have a year ago. We only had 3 months of that. We are going to watch closely property taxes. As I'm sure you've all known, there are a number of appeals that have been requested to revalue property. The assessor is looking at those closely. We want to take a look to see at by mid-year if there is going to be any impact in our property tax projection. Sales tax continues to decline. We are again hopeful that our projection is going to be solid and that we'll meet it at the end of this year, but we want to take the time to review it when we have another quarter of posting. Also at this point, we don't know our pulled rate on our Prop 172 revenue. If you remember, that's our half-cent sales tax for public safety, and it's based on a statewide pull. The state normally notifies us of that rate generally in October or November, but we still don't have it. It has increased the last several years, and we are hopeful that it won't decrease this year and that, again, we'll meet the budget target. So I guess what we're saying is we're crossing our fingers that we're going to meet our projection at year end. We will probably need to make adjustments in certain accounts, but we want to wait till we have more information.
Monica Nino Reed from the Chief Executive Office. Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. The first recommended financial change is for a safe community, and we are recommending a total change in this area to the tune of $294,802. An increase is recommended for animal services of $225,000 for the Stanislaus County Alternative to Euthanasia SCATE program. That program will be funded by additional revenue within the department of $122,000, and then there is $103,000 in fund balance that will offset that $225,000 in additional appropriations. We are recommending an increase of $69,802 for the district attorney. That will fund a portion of their electronic data management project, along with the addition of one legal clerk three for their intake unit. Total recommended change for a healthy community is recommended at $12,763,959. $2,170,098 is a recommended increase for the Community Services Agency. This is as a result of the increase in the TelWorks programs, along with increases in the general assistance caseload growth, along with cost of living adjustments for foster care, adoption assistance, and kinship guardianship programs. For the Health Services Agency, we're recommending an increase of $10,593,861. This department started with the fiscal year with a proposed budget shortfall of $12,612,365. As part of the various agency efficiencies, they've been able to reduce that deficit by the tune of $2,018,504 for the remaining shortfall that we are presenting today for you for funding at $10,593,861. As a result of their most recent federally qualified health care provider designation, the department will be bringing in additional revenue of $4,850,000. This board approved in October additional initiatives that the department is taking on, which will provide $1,554,206 to offset that shortfall, along with we are recommending today an increase in the general fund contribution of $4,189,655. The table below illustrates the last 3 years the county's general fund has contributed to the Health Services Agency $28,424,000. $704,000 beyond the county's previous level of support. The final board priority recommended for change is the efficient delivery of public services. That is a net reduction of $25,164. That encompasses both increases and decreases within efficient delivery for public services. The first is for the Board of Supervisors Clerk of the Board. We are recommending an increase in that budget of $7,638 so that the Clerk of the Board can conduct three additional assessment appeals meetings, along with completion of multi-phases of their record management projects. You will also see in there, we have our county match budgeted, which is essentially the portion of the county's contribution that will be made to the Health Services Agency of $4,189,655. This is where we account for all of our contributions to our various health departments. We are recommending a transfer out of our fund of appropriations for contingencies of $4,222,457. And essentially, there are two pieces that are being funded out of appropriations for contingencies. That is the transfer to our Health Services Agency of the 4.1, which you will see on the left-hand side of this chart, along with the $32,000 that we are recommending for the district attorney for funding of their Legal Clerk 3 for their intake unit.
I would like to point out the $4.2 million is a significant number. That is a number that that we discussed as an approximate and incorporated into the appropriations for contingencies at final budget, recognizing that we were still dealing with the FQHC application, and the ultimate results of that were, of course, positive, reducing the county's obligation to fund HSA, but it still leaves a $4.2 million gap that needs to be filled.
After the board's consideration of the $4.2 million transfer for appropriations for contingency, the remaining funds in appropriations for contingency will be over $5.5 million, which will be there for the remainder of this current fiscal year through the end of June. Staffing changes is no change, but I'd like to take you through the ins and outs of where the positions are being deleted along with the new positions. We are recommending a deletion of a position in the Chief Executive Office Operations and Services, which is part of efficient delivery. We are recommending a deletion of a position in our Public Works Department, which is part of our well-planned infrastructure, for a total of two deletions. We are recommending the addition of two, a legal clerk and our district attorney, which is within our Safe Community Board priority, along with one additional position within Public Works within a well-planned infrastructure, for a total of two, which the two net out to zero for our total authorized positions to remain the same at 4,604. The following is a preliminary budget schedule for the remainder of this fiscal year into the new budget cycle. We will be back before this board with our mid-year fiscal update in February, along with issuing our proposed budget instructions in mid-March. We will be receiving our proposed budgets to the CEO's office in mid-April, along with being back to this board as part of our third quarter fiscal report on May 6th. And the proposed budget will be available, which is for our 2008-2009 fiscal year, on May 30th. Our proposed budget hearings are tentatively scheduled for June 10th through the 12th, along with our final budget hearings for September 9th through the 11th. Ms. Hill-Thomas will now go through the recommendations for first quarter.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have five recommendations for you today. One, to accept our report. Two, by a four-fifths vote, to authorize the use of $4,222,457 from the appropriation for contingency. We're asking you to authorize the Chief Executive Officer and the Auditor Controller to make the necessary adjustments, amend the salary and position allocation resolution as outlined in the report, effective on November 10th. And finally, consistent with Attachment B in your full report, we're asking you to approve the contracts and our agreements listed that are in a cumulative amount of $100,000 or greater since July 1. We now incorporate our contract reporting process to you as a part of our regular fiscal reporting. Finally, we put in a slide which we intend to include from here on out, that all of the county's budget and our fiscal analysis are on the county's website, logging on to scancounty.com,
and we'll leave this up for a while to encourage the public to be able to get to a fair level of detail about the county finances and our reports to your Board of Supervisors. We'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Are there any questions of staff? Anybody in the audience wish to comment on this agenda item? Bring it back to the board for any comments. I just had one comment. I want to thank staff for including the $225,000 for the skate program. I truly believe in making sure that spaying and neutering occurs, as that's going to help us in the future. Any other comments or a motion to approve?
I'll move for approval.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a revised letter from the Federal Emergency Management Agency regarding revisions to the flood insurance study report and the flood insurance rate map of the unincorporated areas of Stanislaus County, which are to be used for floodplain management purposes and for all flood insurance policies and renewals issued.
Refer to Department of Public Works, Planning and Community Development, and Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
I don't have a report, Mr. Chairman, but I'd like to thank our CEO for at least making it understandable in the paper the other day about that somebody had agreed to give 170 acres to Camellus. That was never discussed at this board. If you want to lease it, that's one thing. But it was never discussed to give Camellus 170 acres. I don't know where that came from, but I would hope that if it came from staff, somebody with staff should close your mouth, because if it didn't go by this board, the staff shouldn't be saying we're going to give 170 acres to anybody.
Yeah,
you cleared that up, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay.
Legislative Fiscal Management Report, Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, just two items. One is I would anticipate I'll be bringing to you on November 20th an item to support a statewide effort to restore PLF funding, that's public library funding, for your consideration. Additionally, the legislature does appear to be moving on a health care reform package, which apparently under the current discussions, the Democratic model will look very much like the Republican, and ultimately we'll see the ballot probably in 2008 for voter consideration. We'll keep tracking that and provide input as appropriate.
We do have a closed session. County Council will announce.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. One item, public employment, is a performance evaluation of the Chief Executive Officer, pursuant to Government Code Section 5495.7D.
We adjourn this meeting to closed session.